This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf, and I'm here solo today. I'm going to give you a show that talks a little bit of this and a little bit of that, some dogs and some cats, and actually a little bit of birds, unfortunately, because they've been in the news, and just some, it's going to be a fast-paced show because I've got a lot to cover. So first I'm going to start with a warning. And that is, if you see a sick or injured bird, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Not right now. There's bird flu growing around the world, and it's really, really bad. It's really bad in my neck of the woods, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where most of the poultry is raised. Now, there's no danger to eating eggs, but huge flocks are having to be culled, which means killed, in order to prevent the spread of bird flu, avian flu. And in one case, it actually got to a child, a teenager. So we have to be careful. Don't touch any injured or sick birds. All right. I'll keep you posted on that in 2025. Hopefully we can get a handle on this and it won't be the start of a new pandemic. Let's be real careful out there with our kids. And when we're encountering, when we've got dogs at a park where there's ducks, put them on a leash. Don't let them eat the poo. Don't let them harass the ducks. Don't let them deal with a possibly sick duck or chicken or bird, or migrating bird, or just keep your dogs on leash because, you know, they shouldn't be disturbing the birds in the nest anyway. So it's good training. All right, everybody, let's talk about pumpkin. Yeah, I talked a little bit about pumpkin in October when you were all making your jack-o'-lanterns. And I said, please don't put bleach on it. Use vinegar if you have to. Don't paint them because at the end you can give them to animals, right? Like goats, or throw them in a composter and they biodegrade, or put them out for the wild birds. All that's good. And the seeds chopped up fine can be fed to animals. Some people believe it's a parasite cure. But as far as pumpkin goes, the vets say it's really good for dogs and for cats. So let's see, what do they say? They say that pumpkin is high in fiber, low in fat, low in cholesterol, loaded with beta carotene, magnesium, potassium, iron, zinc, and vitamins A and C. So all very good. Now the canned pumpkin you buy in the store, you got to make sure it's not the kind for pie that is actually just canned pumpkin. It will be mostly water and pumpkin. So how does it help your dog or your cat? Well, some people say, and the vets are mixed about this, that it helps with coat and eyes and all this kind of stuff, skin, coat, immune system. But everybody agrees it helps with digestion. Everyone agrees that it helps cats deal with fur balls better, and it helps dogs deal with any kind of gastric issues. So whether it be constipation or diarrhea, the fiber in the pumpkin helps if they have too loose stools or too hard, or the cat is struggling with hairballs, or they've got diarrhea because maybe they had a little too much treats or something like that. Then, you know, a little bit of pumpkin goes a long way. So what do? You buy a can of this and once you open it, you keep it in the fridge. And then if you have, say, a chihuahua or a toy poodle or a cat, right, a 10-pound-ish animal, then just a couple of teaspoons with each meal, mix it in. And they love it, so it's not a problem. It'll make them eat their food. So that's something to try. And I would say, as with anything, if you've never given your little dog or cat pumpkin before, since 2 teaspoons is the full dose with each meal for a 10-pound animal, I would start with 1, just to see. Because maybe your cat or your dog is overly reactive. Maybe your constipated cat is all of a sudden going to, you know, let loose, and you don't want an explosion. So go easy, go with a half dose. Now, if you've got a Great Dane, right, like he's 90 pounds, 100 pounds, maybe he's 180 pounds, okay, there's going to be a way bigger dose. So if a toy poodle needs a couple of teaspoons, then I'd say a Sheltie might need a tablespoon and a half, maybe 3 teaspoons, and then going up the scale, or a Maine Coon cat, a fat cat, a big cat. And then going up the scale, when you'd get to, say, a mini Australian Shepherd might need 4 teaspoons. And a Labrador Retriever, if she's slim, a 50 pounder or a doodle, most doodles would probably need 2 tablespoons. And then you go up to the next size up, the Golden Retriever and Pointer and German Shepherd and all those 60 to 75 pound dogs. They probably need an eighth of a cup. And then going up, you're going to get a quarter cup on the bigger dogs. And once you get to the Great Dane, you're in the half a cup of canned pumpkin per meal. So, but a Great Dane, I mean, I once met one that was 210 pounds. Most of them are clocking in around, I don't know, 160, 180, and 6 foot tall. So that's a little bit of a different story. Whenever you get, it's interesting, when you get a little animal, tiny, tiny one, or a giant one, your healthcare costs go way up. All your costs go way up, actually. People think, oh, the smaller dog will be cheaper. No, not necessarily. They're very breakable. And putting them under is a big deal. Micro doses of everything. And the same is true with the big guys. The big guys, everything is increased, right? If they're charging you a certain amount per pound to neuter a dog, good God, when you bring in your Great Dane, you better bring him in young before he gains lots of weight. Because, yeah, a heavy Great Dane is going to be charged triple what, that little golden doodle will be charged to be neutered. So keep that in mind as you go. All right, so that's a little bit about pumpkin. And I think, you know what I'm going to do? Because I have a peanut butter and pumpkin dog cookie recipe. So if you hang on and listen to the whole show, you're going to get that at the end of the show, my peanut butter and pumpkin dog cookie recipe. It's in case you want to give your dog pumpkin, but you want to do it in a more fun way. This is the way to do it. Okay. So I had an email and it was just a one-liner. First he says, "Why don't you do jokes anymore?" And then he says, "Do over easy eggs come from party chickens?" That's it. That's the whole email. All right. Well, I read it on air. So I guess I do jokes again. I used to, when the show first began, I used to do a little pet riddle or joke most of the time when I was on the air. And my kids were really little and they used to get a kick out of the jokes. And sometimes they'd give me them or they'd take them to school. And I was always looking up little jokes. So I guess I've got a fan from those days. So I'll go back to telling the odd joke here and there, the odd pet joke. Do over easy eggs come from party chickens? He asks. Well, yes, I think they do. That's exactly where over easy eggs come from. All right. So thank you for the joke. And that was from the Chicago area, is how he signed it. So I guess he's just outside of Chicago. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back. And we're going to talk about a trend. It's a little bit dangerous. You think you're doing the right thing, and it's the biggest new trend in pet food over the last year, and it is not the right thing. Nope. All right, stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms, and our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. It's me, Deb Wolf, talking to you from Camp Good Dog. And I notice it here. The dogs come to board. You know, the owners are going to Hawaii or wherever, and they send their dog here. And they bring the food and the meds and the vitamins and all the stuff they're sending their dog. So I get to look at over the years how things have changed since 1997 to now and what they're sending. And I notice loads of people who think they're doing the right thing and are pampering their pets to the ultimate degree are buying grain-free pet food. Now, it sounds like a good idea. You think, okay, what wolf goes out and eats grain? Well, yeah, no, they don't. But they do eat animals with partly digested grains in their gut. So that counts for some grain intake. And actually, they do eat grasses. They do eat some grains at times. So, but besides that, your dog is not a wolf anymore. And the thing is, there's been a lot of problems. So I'll just read to you some of the news I've dug up on this subject. The FDA is investigating a potential link between grain-free diets and a potentially life-threatening heart disease. Now, this heart disease, which is called DCM, was hardly ever found before. And now it's found a lot, and almost always it's found in dogs who've been fed grain-free diet. So the FDA has received reports of DCM in dogs that were fed grain-free diets, even in breeds that aren't genetically predisposed to the disease. Grain-free diets may lead to taurine deficiency, which can make dogs more susceptible to DCM. And what taurine is, it's an essential amino acid, and dogs need it to be heart healthy. They just need it. It's in meat. So I notice also a trend in vegetarian diet for dogs. And you know, it seems politically correct and it might feel good, but your dog's a carnivore. He's an omnivore. He's not a vegetarian. And your cat, even more so. Don't be falling for these things. It's not correct to feed your carnivore or omnivore an only vegetable diet with synthetic additives to make up the difference. That's not the right way to go. Okay, so grain-free diets can lead to deficiencies in nutrients like iron, thiamine, calcium, riboflavin, folate, and niacin. Dogs with DCM often have a heart warmer, but other factors can cause that too. And so some dog breeds that are already predisposed to this. So if you've got a dog that's one of these breeds, you really, really, really don't want to do the grain-free because now you're already susceptible to the problem. And if you add grain-free diet, now you're increasing the chances they're going to have these heart murmurs and heart issues. And they're pretty serious heart issues. Like, yeah, your dog could die from this for real. So, okay, so the dog breeds who especially want to avoid the grain-free diet are Golden Retriever, Doberman Pinscher, Cocker Spaniel, Boxer, Great Dane, Scottish Deerhound, Irish Wolfhound, St. Bernard, Afghan Hound, and Dalmatian. So if you've been feeding grain-free diet and you're concerned, switch back and maybe go see your vet. Get a little diagnosis going on because we definitely don't want that happening. No, we don't. All right, everybody. So that is one of the biggest trends over 2024. The biggest trend was the increase in grain-free diets being bought for pets. And so I really, really wanted to caution you all about that. Now, another trend, a happy trend, that I'm going to report to you from one of my favorite guests, Stacy Mantle. And she runs a magazine called PetsWeekly.com. You can check it out for reviews of the best and worst products, honest reviews, trial tested by her pets. So for this year, her two favorite products of the whole year were both for dogs, and one of them is from a company called Snoozer, and it's called the Cozy Cave Bed. And it's basically like a contoured bed with a lid sort of thing. So your pet almost hides in there. They almost cocoon in it. It's really quite adorable. So check that out if you're looking for a new pet bed and they have washable liners so you can refresh it. What I like to do for an affordable bed, if you're looking for something cheap and quick, and if your pet has issues, like maybe not fully house trained yet, or accidents, or loves to play in the mud, or something that makes you have to wash the whole bed all the time, then what I use is sleeping bags. Yeah, I put sleeping bags inside cushion covers. So I'll go to a secondhand store and buy upholstery cushion covers because they're really thick and they've got really strong zippers. And then I'll put two sleeping bags in it. And that's a dog bed. Why? Because the whole thing can go in the washing machine and the whole thing can go in the dryer. And that means if one dog has an accident and it doesn't draw everybody to it forevermore, or one cat, I do the same for my cat beds. So, okay, so that's a tip from me. But if you have a dog who's perfectly trained and neat and tidy, then I think the Cozy Cave Bed is an adorable solution. They're so cute in there, all cuddled in. And the overhang makes it so they don't have to deal with our overhead lights. Dogs have their eyes kind of on the top of their head more than humans. And so when we have our overhead lights blaring down at them all the time in such an unnatural way, they like to hide under things like a table or in a dark corner. Well, this bed can be right beside you in the middle of the room, wherever you want it, and the dog still gets that that dark, safe space. And yeah, they're adorable. It almost looks like a hamburger, the bun top, and then the dog's inside. Okay, so her other pick from Pets Weekly magazine, petsweekly.com, her other pick is a waterproof bed runner. And it's good for dogs and cats. It's called the Pup Protector. And they have different types that are fake fur, and they're sort of simulated to be a certain kind of fur or another kind of fur, depending on what suits your decor. And that's from a company called Paw. So the first one was from a company called Snoozer, and the second one's from a company called Paw. And those are her two favorite products for the whole year. So, yeah, we don't have to try everything. We can just ask Stacy or go to petsweekly.com to check it out. So I'm going to go to break and come back, and we have a message from our favorite veterinarian, Dr. Jory, over in Toronto. He's got a message for y'all when we come back. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And we've got this message from Dr. Jory. And basically what he says is he wants you to have a good, healthy, happy year. But he wants to encourage you to embrace the benefits of proactive veterinary care. Because regular checkups, vaccinations, and early screenings help detect potential health issues early, making treatment easier and more affordable. He's saying, don't forget the importance of preventing tick-borne diseases and leptospirosis. That's the one that comes from stagnant water, like puddles, which can be serious but are preventable with the right care. By staying on top of their health, you're helping to extend your pet's lifespan and enhance their quality of life. Here's to a year of keeping your pets healthy, happy, and by your side for many more moments to cherish. So that's from Dr. Jory. And I totally agree with that. You know, I think of the pandemic and how many people, in human terms, were denied care, right? They weren't tested because hospitals were only outputting on an emergency basis and people weren't being tested. And so at the end of the pandemic, now everybody starts getting tested again and the hospitals are opening up and they're finding people with advanced disease. People who could have been cured easily are now having to have years and years of treatment or worse, right? Worse, much worse. And that's the same with our pets. They only live 10 years, 15, maybe 18, or if you're the ultimate record holder. I knew this one lady who had her cat when she was single, got married. She's from Australia. She was one of my listeners. Got married, had a kid, had another kid, had a third kid. Kids all grew up. Kids graduated. Kids went off to college. Cat was 28 and still doing fine. And she was like, how long is this cat going to live? So some of us are very lucky, but most of us have a dog for 12 years. If it's a big dog, you know, 11, 10. If it's a Great Dane, you're lucky to get 10. If it's a little dog, maybe you get 14 or 15, maybe. But the last couple of years can be rough. You might have a dog that instead of it running to play fetch, it's more like a ring toss where you're throwing the ball at it and it can't see and it can't hear, but it's still trying to play. Or you might have a dog that doesn't play at all anymore. It just gets up for cuddles or doesn't even get up. A dog that limps around or has accidents that you pretend aren't there because you don't want to face the inevitable. Okay, all of this stuff, the aging years, can be made so much better if we catch the problems early. And the same is true with cats. If you figure out what's going wrong before it's become chronic, before it's become painful, before whatever it is spread or taken over, you know, you're in so much better shape to keep your animal healthy through those senior years. And like my teddy bear, Cinnamon Teddy Bear, who we call Prancing Cinnamon Teddy Bear, he was just prancing this morning at age 10, having a little happy dance because I said his name. That's what you want to see out of your elderly pets. You don't want them dragging and sore just because you didn't catch something soon enough. So that's just our caution from Dr. Jory. And I tried to get a message from Dusty Rainbolt, one of my favorite cat experts. I tried, but we started talking and talking and talking and ended up going through myth busting. And it got to such a point that we were both laughing our heads off. So you're going to have to hear from me and Dusty myth busting about cats, because it's going to be a great show, I'll tell you that. All right, everybody. I'm about to close the show, so I should give you my peanut butter and pumpkin dog cookie recipe. So here it is. It makes about 25 to 50 bite-sized treats. Like, I made about 48 with this. So it's up to you how big they are. Just make them all the same. Because if you make cookies different sizes and you bake them in the oven, then some are kind of raw and some are kind of burnt. So just make them all the same. Okay. 2.5 cups whole wheat flour, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup canned pumpkin, 2 tablespoons peanut butter, 1/2 teaspoon salt, but if you use salted peanut butter, I wouldn't use 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon, and then you can use cookie cutters, like a bone shape maybe, so that humans aren't eating your pumpkin peanut butter cookies, although they might like them, you know? I mean, there's nothing in here a human couldn't eat, so why not? All right, so there's your pumpkin peanut butter cookie dog recipe. If you dare to try it, let me know how it goes. I'd love to get your feedback here at deb@petliferadio.com. Send me your jokes. Send me your recipes. Send me your questions. That's my favorite, pet questions. Why doesn't my dog listen? Why does my dog hate my husband? Why does my dog chew my shoes? Why does my cat prefer the couch to the cat scratch? Why won't my cat use a litter box when guests are here? Why does my cat love my Christmas tree? Why does my cat hate the neighbor cat? Why does my cat destroy the toilet paper roll? Any question, okay? Anything about cats or dogs in my lane. You got a problem that's annoying you or bothering you or amusing you or delighting you or just making you wonder, why do they do that? Or how do I stop that? How do I keep my garden when spring comes? How do I keep my garden attractive and cat-free if I've got a neighbor's cat who loves to come over and poop in it? How do I deal with this kind of stuff? Or how do I get my dogs to tolerate my cats? Yeah. Oh, I love that one. Any kind of pet problem, you ask me. And if I don't have the answer, let's say it's an iguana problem or a chicken problem or a horse problem that's out of my reach, I'll find an expert to answer your problem for you. So just send me your questions. If it's veterinary, I'll get Dr. Jory on. Yeah. And most of the dog and cat problems I've dealt with before, I've been a trainer for a very long time and trained an awful lot of cats and dogs. So if you've got a problem, I can probably fix it in a very, very simple way. And if you're willing to talk on air, then please let us know that when you send us your question. Give us a contact information. And what we'll do is we'll get in touch with you when we aren't live. So you won't have any pressure. There's no, it's just like a phone chat. But that way, if I suggest something you've already tried, you can tell me and say, oh no, we tried that. And we can sort of tinker with it a little bit and come up with the exact right solution for your dog or your cat. So, all right, everybody, have to wrap up the show now. And I just want to say from me and Pet Life Radio and Animal Party, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.